Wise, 310-858.
Ms. Wise. Honorable Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting your hearing at this time, so just hold on for one moment, and he will be with you very shortly.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Ms. Wise. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
I said, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Do you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Nicole Jasmine Wise, 310-858.
Okay, Ms. Wise, I'm going to introduce you to the board members who are conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Louise Nellis, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Rice, who's our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your lead to the hearing today. Also with this representative of the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer, Mr. Westby.
Okay.
Ms. Wise, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving that form and signing the
yes.
form? On that form, it also notifies you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Is your hiring attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Okay, you also have a supporter here today, Mr.
Zion.
Are both of you want to speak today? Okay. All right. So, Mr. Zion, who's a friend of yours, is also here as a supporter and will be speaking today. At this time, what I'd like to do, Ms. Vice, I need to swear you in, Mr. Zion, along with Mr. Westby. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Ms. Wise?
Yes.
Mr. Zion? Okay, Mr. Westby. Okay. Ms. Wise, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. And phase one will determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. And phase two will determine whether your community supervision will be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one. You have one allegation listed on the warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The allegation on the warrant states that you're violating Arizona condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of morphine without a valid prescription on or about May 9, 2018, per the Cass Lab GCMS report dated May 14, 2018. Ms. Wise, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you. Based on the admission of Ms. Wise, I'm going to find that she was a victim as she did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision and that she had, may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or a company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes.
Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, and Dr. Wright. Okay, Ms. Wise, we're going to go into phase two of the hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you of your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then I'm going to come to you, Ms. Wise, and get any additional information that you'd like to present to the board after going over some information. Then we're going to give Mr. Zion, your supporter, an opportunity to speak, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Westby.
On January 29th, 2018, Ms. Wise was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested May 10th, 2018 by ADC staff. There were no new charges. She was back in DOC custody May 10th, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of September 26th, 2018, 0 Sundays. Current conviction, 2016, trafficking in stolen property, 2.5 years. 2016, child abuse, 6 months. 2016, drug paraphernalia violation, 6 months. She has no prior convictions. This is her first term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. Her disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrests, 2009, misdemeanor other DUI, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. Her community risk score is a G1B1.
Okay, Ms. Lowry's.
Yes, sir.
I see when you were released on January 29th, you approved to reside at the Skelly House, 2432 West Tony. Then it looks like on March 8th, you were approved to reside at 1855 East Don Carlos Avenue, apartment number 306 in Tempe. Then it looks like on May 10th, you were approved to reside with Mr. Zillot at 15728 East Barrio Drive in Fountain Hills. Were you still staying with Mr. Zillot at the time you were arrested?
I'm sorry, sir, what was that again?
Were you still staying with Mr. Zillot at the time you were arrested, Mr. Zillot?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So, looks like, were you working during that period of time?
Was I living there? I'm sorry, it's hard to, you're like muffled, kind of.
Okay.
Or so, far away.
No, we've been having problems with this mic, so it's not you, it's definitely coming from here. Were you working at that time? It looks like you were working at the Clarendon Hotel and Spa.
I did have a job at the Clarendon Hotel and Spa, but I was not working at the time.
Okay. According to the program, you referred to task and you were given the color of maiden. The results of your testing that on February 26th, you tested negative, and then on March 13th, you didn't have a sample collected. April 27th, no sample collected, and then it looks like on May 9th, you were positive for opiates.
Correct.
So why didn't you test those in March and April?
Why did I not test? Is that what you asked?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't call. I wasn't calling. I was sporadically using. I can't deny that. I relapsed and used on multiple occasions.
So what were you taking?
I was doing heroin.
So they actually, looks like on May 4th, you went to the office. And it looks like they had put out an absconder warrant for you?
Yeah, there was. They told me they gave a letter to my old roommate. I had to move, it just wasn't a good situation. I was clean up until I moved in with her, and I allowed myself to fall back into old habits, and I needed to get out of the situation. I should have asked permission prior, but I was afraid because I had been using, and when they presented the letter to my roommate, or my ex-roommate, I should say, she told me what date it said to report, and I reported that day.
Okay, so it said that you had been continually using drugs, heroin, and that you actually overdosed and had to be resuscitated by the paramedics. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so it also states that you had been receiving while you were incarcerated Vivitrol. Is that right?
I'm sorry, the other line is beeping, so it's hard, I couldn't hear you.
Okay, so then while you were incarcerated, you were taking Vivitrol?
Vivitrol?
Yes.
Yes, before my release, I was given the Vivitrol injection, and that's actually what I would like to do again. It did work. Unfortunately, I went off of it, and because of a medical problem I'm having, I actually was prescribed opiate medication here at the prison, and I've refused it, so that if they seem fit to release me, I would be able to get on the Vivitrol injection immediately.
So why did you stay on the Jordan injection once you were released?
Because I don't have a good reason. I just thought I had it. I thought I could do it myself. I didn't think it was actually that was working. I thought it was me, and I proved myself very wrong.
Okay, so they were going to send you a CBI for detox, and it says that you and your sponsor thought it would be the best course of action for you to just return home. Did you go? Did you actually go to detox or not?
No. I had said I would then, and my parole officer at the time said, "No, you're just going back to prison today." So.
Okay, but prior to that, they were at a session and tried to send you to detox, and for medical observation was discussed, but you and your sponsor decided to, it would be best for you to return home with an agreement that you would not use any illegal drugs and would report to a methadone clinic on May 11th. What happened to that?
My parole officer said, well, first we said that we, could I go home? I will not use drugs. I did already have a scheduled appointment for the very next day to get put on methadone, and they, at parole, they knew that. I also had 2 job interviews scheduled for that next day, but after saying that we would like for me to go home, he said, no, we'll just send you back to prison. Like, I told him I would go, but he had already had his mind made up. I wish I would have said yes immediately.
Okay.
But maybe this is what I needed. I mean, I know without a doubt I needed to be put into an environment where I had no choice but to quit using. And
so are you doing any drugs now since you've been incarcerated?
No, sir, and I've refused the opiate medication that medical has prescribed to me.
The opiate medication, does that include the Vivitrol?
No, Vivitrol is a shot so that you don't, it blocks the opiate and opioid receptors in your brain. So it's like an anti-opiate. In Perryville right now at medical, they prescribed me Tylenol with codeine for pain for a daily treatment that I have to have. And I've refused the Tylenol with codeine because I don't want opiates. I know even what a prescription, what kind of effect that can have on my life. It's not, I just don't want it to be part of my life anymore. And if I have to deal with a little bit of pain for it, that's fine. But getting clean is the best thing that could have happened.
So what kind of pain are you experiencing? I mean, is that from an accident, or what is the pain that you're experiencing?
Yeah, I have a wound on my chest from a burn, and it medical was just dressing it at first, and then they missed, they didn't realize that there was tunneling, so it's going up into my chest in like 2 different tunnels. And they have to use this special weird gauze and pack it with a Q-tip and push it up in there. So obviously, it's real tender. It is a little painful, but they said, they give the best medical care they can, and I am so grateful for that. And medical director, Dr. Abram, said that once I am released, whenever that would be, I need to go to a specialist to see if surgery is necessary to close up the tunnels, because they can't tell how far they go up.
Okay. And you're not taking the Vivitrol while you're there?
No, I'm not I have not been given the Vivitrol injection, but when I get out, I would like to get it again.
Okay. Ms. Wise, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. So no additional questions coming from the board. We're going to go to your supporter.
Thank you.
Sir, would you just come up to the mic, please state your full name, and go ahead and present the information you'd like to present to the board.
My name is Ziad Aga. Mr. Chairman, honorable members of the board, thank you very much for allowing me to speak on the school's behalf. I really appreciate that. I'm going to read a letter from my wife, who is a doctor of pharmacy, and to start with, and then I'll add some of my comments to it.
Okay.
It's a short letter. To the honorable members of the board, my name is Dr. Virginia Aga. I have requested my husband, Ziad Aga, to read this letter in my behalf in supporting Nicole's release. I first met Nicole in February of this year. When I met her, my first impression of her was that she was quiet and withdrawn. Since she had moved in with us in April, it has been a pleasure to watch her blossom from the Nicole that I first met to the Nicole that has begun to believe in herself, the confidence that she has displayed by obtaining 3 job interviews. She was one day away from going to an outpatient treatment center before Corolla picked her up. She had made a lot of decisions to reach certain goals in her life that were a positive and not a negative. We all look forward to her coming back home and continuing to guide and support her towards a strong and secure future. My additional comments to that is what we did is when Nicole had her incident where she slipped, we took her out of that environment where she was at. We brought her into our home because we knew that was a safe environment. We've had some experience with our own family members that had dealt with drugs and got clean of the drugs. And so we knew what this was all about. She's a family friend. We wanted to make sure that she was in a safe environment. So we brought her there. We set rules for her to abide by. She abided by those rules. She was very strong and committed to those rules. She was on a positive track. She has a positive attitude towards succeeding and to coming back into the community as a good and outstanding member. Those are the things that we established with her. Those are the points that she wanted to live by. She immediately jumped out, went out, looked for work. She set her own appointments to go to outpatient clinics to help her get rid of to get help with her drug issues. She was a changed person from where we picked her up and where she was in a very short time. She displayed a lot of willingness to be a good, outstanding citizen. We like Nicole, we're very proud of Nicole, and we know that if you guys go ahead and release her, she'll get right back on that same track, positive track, towards becoming a good community member.
So Mr.
Aga.
I'm getting this up. So Mr. Aga, how long did she stay with you before she was, because she was doing drugs since he's been out.
Right. She was in March and part of April, she was in that home in off of Don Carlos or someplace in Tempe.
Right.
And at that point in time, things were starting to get really bad for her. She had had that episode with the heroin that she took. We brought her into our home sometime in April, towards the end of April. When we brought her in, as I mentioned, we immediately set rules. We've got experience in this. And we set rules, and again, as I mentioned, she abided by those rules and more so than that. She is very strongly committed to being off the drugs and back into society and living a good life, a normal life. Something that, you know, unfortunately not all a lot of drug addicts that we have seen have.
So then the reason I'm asking is because I'm trying to determine as I'm looking that she was still using drugs while she was staying with you.
No, she wasn't. No, she had, and here's a clarification. I had heard something about morphine here earlier. Okay, I think you asked a question, did she use morphine? And I think you, the question was, if you could repeat that question, I believe you said it was done illegally or something like that. Am I correct in what I heard there?
That's in the warrant that it looks like that she had used morphine without a valid prescription on or about May 9, 2018.
That's incorrect. The morphine was administered to her at the hospital in Scottsdale. She had this wound in her chest that was extremely painful, and so we were concerned. So we made sure that she went to the hospital. At the hospital, they administered that morphine for her.
Do you know what day she went? When did she go to the hospital?
You know, Lord, I wish we had.
May 2nd or 3rd.
Huh?
May 2nd or 3rd.
May 2nd or 3rd?
I have a bracelet.
Okay. So it was in the beginning of May.
Okay, because it was May 9th that she was positive for opiates.
Right, well, so I imagine the morphine was in there.
Mr. Westby.
Yes, for test laboratories, morphine will only stay in somebody's system for detection for a maximum of 3 to 4 days.
Okay, so this it was positive for opiates, and that test was taken on May 9th, and May 10th, they received it on May 14th is when the report date came out. It was positive for morphine and positive for opiates.
Well, the morphine, as I explained to you, that's what I know of. The opiates, I don't know where that came from. But at no time did we observe her while she was living with us. Was she inebriated or in a state that she was always right with us all the time? Our support for her also was this, giving her a home stay. Yeah, a good clean home, away. We live in Fountain Hills, so we're away from a lot of the environment that she has been subject to. We are there to also support her in getting her to jobs, getting her to appointments, getting her medical attention if she needs it. We just want to make sure that she gets a good, strong start back in life again so she can go ahead and get back into the community as an outstanding citizen, which I believe very strongly that she can be.
Okay, does the board have any additional questions? Mr. Quinones.
I just wanted one for clarification, sir. As a fellow human being, I appreciate what you're doing for Ms. Wise, but are you part of a program yourself?
No, sir. We're a friend.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions? So in this report, it also states that she said she was taking prescription drugs without someone else's prescription drugs. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't really know anything. All I know is that when she came out of the hospital, she had a script for Tramadol, I think it was.
Okay, you were with her when she was having the interview with the PO, when she's at the PO's office?
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, the PO asked me to come in and discuss with him, what his recommendation was at the time.
Okay, so it kind of appears to me, I could be wrong, but you know what I'm looking at in the warrant, that they wanted her to go into a program for observation because she had did. They wanted to go in a detox program and she didn't want to go.
No, I don't think that was the case because he was not really clear. I was sitting there and he was not clear in what he wanted, her to go to. You know, I was very intent. I wanted her to come back home with us because we knew what we can do for her. He said, my choices are to send her to a rehab or send her back to jail. And I said, and then he said, if we send her this way, we're going to keep her from hurting herself. I told him there's no way that she's going to hurt herself. And that's when he went and spoke with his supervisor and came back and said, you know, sir, you have to leave. We're sending her back to prison.
Okay. Mr. Weston?
Yes, I also want to support, looking at the notes here and also based on statements from parole supervisor Lace, was that Ms. Wise had made a statement that she believed that she was pregnant and per the Department of Corrections, sound correctional practices, and policy that if any female is pregnant and is using drugs, that we need to return her to custody for the safety of the child so that way she's, you know, there's no risk of her using further and damaging the embryo of the fetus.
That I was not aware of.
Okay. All right, sir. Bill Herman, no questions? Okay.
Well, that's her belief. Was that her belief that she was pregnant? How did that come about?
It says here in the notes, and this is also with the supervisor, discussed that with me, was that the offender advised that she believed she was pregnant, and after that, it was automatic return to custody. That was because of the fact with her drug use that she was having right then.
Thank you so very much for listening.
Okay, sir. Thank you, Mr. R.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Or may I speak?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. We're coming up to the conclusion of the hearing, so I want to give you the opportunity to present whatever information you like to present to the board without repeating yourself.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I had missed a period, so it was just kind of a in case. I have been tested. I am not pregnant.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board as we come up on a conclusion of your hearing?
Yes, I want to thank you for your time today. I know, time is important. I did use on multiple occasions. I can't deny that. It's only by the grace of God that I'm able to be here today, and I have never looked at life the way I do now. I don't want to be a failure, not to my family, not to my children, society, not to myself. I'm so disappointed in myself for coming back, for relapsing. But given another opportunity, I know I would be successful and I make myself and everyone else proud. Just thank you for your time and your consideration. And that's all.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wise. As far as the board is getting ready to go into discussion, while we're in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so that you can hear the conversation taking place. However, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. The board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, the board is now going into discussion. I think that Ms. Wise does have to Mr. Zaida and his family some support out there that's willing to help her with the support and get her going into a different direction. And I do have some issue with her relapse and continued use of drugs that she was actually doing, and that she admitted to also using some taking some prescriptions that weren't hers. And some of these occurred while she was still at the residence. But Mr.
Mr. Agad, Agad?
Agad.
Agad. That Mr. Agad, some of it still occurred while he was there. I know that it appears definitely that him and his family were trying to reach out to her as a family friend, help her, get her on the right track, keep her on the right track. But part of it is that she has to do it. I know that she looks like she was working and she relapsed and stopped working and then started using the drugs. She will be released in September 26th of this year. She hasn't had any access to drugs while she's been incarcerated. That she say that she has started a process while she's been in there to not take any medication that had opiates or any drugs in it. She's trying to get through there. She's not on the Vivitar while she's incarcerated, but she's making that step while she's incarcerated to really get her life together, to get off drugs and go a different direction. I'm not sure if she's totally turned that corner. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Okay. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Ms. Wise, find that she was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of her supervision, and lapse is about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Motion by myself, second Mrs. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones. Agreed, Mr. Neal. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Ms. Wise?
Yes.
So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You've been incarcerated for about a month. I really believe that you are very sincere in the path that you want to take with turning your life around. I think that Mr. Andre and his family are doing all they can, and they will support you in trying to stay on the right track to keep you out of trouble and keep you so that you'll be a productive person. But I really think that you'll be released on September 26th. If you take the remainder of this time, work on yourself, and continue working on yourself as you're doing now while you're incarcerated, I think that you'll be a much stronger person, that when you get out and get released, that you'll have a better opportunity of surviving and being a strong person and a productive person, because you have shown that you can work and that you have worked, you obtained a job, that you can be a productive citizen once you get out. I just think that if you stay there, work with your CO3, get involved in any program that you can while you're there, so that when you get out that you'll be much stronger. And with the aid of Mr. Agha and his family, that you'll be able to be a very productive person. It's just going to take some time for you to work on yourself, continue to work on yourself, and stay strong. We want to wish you the best of luck that you're able to get yourself together and pull through and get out and be a productive citizen when you get out and not get back involved in drugs. We realize that heroin is a very difficult drug to get off of, and I think that mentally right now that you are there, that you want to do it, that if you work on this period of time that you have left incarcerated, that we feel that you'll be a more productive person once you do that. I want to thank you, Mr. Agha, for coming down here. Thank you for your testimony and information. Ms. Wise, I want to thank you for taking the time to participate in the hearing today. And that's going to conclude your hearing at this time, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.